Blog Talk Radio. But exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. It is Monday. Wow, okay, I see you're here bright and early on Monday. How was your weekend? Well, for some of you, you heard the propaganda about the weekend being the last weekend. They were predicting doomsday for a lot of people. And I told you, if you tuned in on Monday, I would tell you why this past weekend was one of the most significant 3 days in my life. And for some of you, it will be your life as well. Well, for number one, that's the first time I had heard about a prediction that the world would end in that fashion, where I myself actually witnessed people standing, passing out brochures. I saw a lady riding around with a notice on her car advising people that this is it. You better do something quick because May 21st, that's it. I heard more people talking about it than I have in my 55 years of living. And so I'm telling you, that was really, really unique for me. Also, Friday, when I got off the show, I ran over to an elementary school that goes from grades kindergarten all the way up to grade 8. And I went in there to talk to some young people about career choices. And it was so interesting. They were only in the third grade, but I really believe they got it. So I went there, and of the various careers that I have, because I'm one of those multiple career people, like most people today. You know, I remember studying business, my first, you know, business course probably back in 91 or 92. And I remember as I, you know, went on in my field of study and taking more and more business classes, I remember they were telling us then, between the early 90s, that we were in an age where people would have more than one career. Not like my mother and certainly my grandmother in the United States, where people would have this one career and they would do that for 20, 30, 40 years until they retired. But they had said that it had changed and people would have multiple careers. Now, I'm really not in the age group that should be taking full advantage of that the way I am. So typically the persons who would be right smack dab in the middle of that would be persons probably in their 30s. But here I am in my 50s, and I am smack dab in the middle of that prediction, that or forecast, you could call it. It's an economic forecast and a business forecast that they do all the time, and they did this forecast about 20 years ago, and they said that people would have these multiple careers at one time. And so here I am. So one of the careers that they asked me to come and talk about was being an author. And so I talked to them about being an author, and they wanted to know about all the writing processes and, you know, what do you write about, of course, how many hours do you write, how long did it take you to write your book, how do you pick your topics. One even wanted to know what I hated about my job, I guess, of being a writer. And then I went, once I stated what I hated, several of them said, oh, yeah, I'm the same way. Now, these were all writers. This was in their language arts class. They had me go to a language arts class filled with third graders. So that was the first scary thing. When I got there, I was hoping I would have the eighth graders. I typically deal with the eighth graders or older students. And I really have a special place in my heart for the seventh and eighth graders, because I believe that that is that key year that I got lost. I had already been performing very low, even as a little kid in first grade. I remember having a bad report card my entire school life. I never had a good report card, ever. Never. Every report card of mine was bad from day one. I remember kindergarten getting some back, you know, well, when I was going to school, you got N's and S's. You were either satisfactory or you were not satisfactory. And I remember getting N's even way back then. And I think the N's continued maybe even in the first grade, possibly. But I remember nothing good. I remember, and then in the comment section, I remember the comment section was even negative. They would say, I remember my mother getting on me about not sitting still. I remember that. And being talkative, that I remember. Not putting forth effort. Yeah, I remember those being some areas where I was in trouble, even as a little kid, you know, kindergarten, first grade. And so some people, and then actually, I think, and I was sharing this with those youth, how I had dropped out of high school. It's so funny. And there are people who wonder, well, how did, and I made it all the way to the 11th grade. Now, they're sitting in the third grade, so they're like wondering, well, if you were failing, because people are probably telling them that if they're failing, they won't make it. That's the only reason I can think of them wanting to know. They're only third grade. And they wanted to know, but you told us you made it to the 11th grade, so how did you make it, and you're telling us you were failing? Well, I didn't have time to explain that to them, a bit complicated, but it had to do with my mother. Now, my mother was not a certified teacher, though she could have been, and she could have passed the certification test without, you know, having to really study for it probably. But she was definitely a teacher. She taught Sunday school, and she was a Brownie leader. So she was used to working with little kids and teaching them and helping them. And so I think the only reason that I was able to pass every single grade, I remember coming home, having this bad report card, and what I remember is getting a whipping because, you know, a bad report card meant that you weren't doing what you were supposed to do, like sit down, be quiet, pay attention, do what you're told to do. So all of those things netted a whipping. A whipping. I know you can't do that these days because they'll lock parents up. But back then in the 60s, this was the early 60s, when I was in kindergarten, it had to be 1960 when I was in kindergarten. So back in the 60s, you could whip your children. It was no problem. So here I am, and I get whipped, and then I remember then the next report card would come, the same thing, and then the next. But apparently, those whippings, which I call beatings, but for the sake of the show, I'll call them whippings. And those whippings apparently got me doing the work well enough that I was able to at least pull my grades up enough to get past to the next grade. So apparently the whipping had some effect on me because I improved my behavior enough that I would get past. And I never stuck. Every year, I remember, it was always, we were always on pins and needles to see if little Lisa will pass. I remember that in my household. My sister, 1 year older than me, she was very bright. She never failed. She was 2 years older than me, I'm sorry. She never failed anything. She was like straight-A student kind of thing. And then they had a brother 1 year older than me, and he was kind of like in my boat. So I would be getting a beating, and so would he, because he had some of the same issues. He just wasn't talkative, but he had some problems. He wouldn't do his work either for some reason. I guess he wanted to play around or whatever. So here I am. I get this work. You know, I finally get the work done, and when I think back on it, it's really amazing how important it is to work with your children, but. I just remember never sticking, but I remember that always being this dark cloud hanging over my head that, oh, God, this is going to be the year you stuck. And I don't know how, like these days, kids, they stick, they get set back, it's no big deal. But back then, it was a great stigma. You did not want to get left behind. This was way before the whole no child left behind. But, at least in the neighborhood, in the community, in your household, sticking and getting left behind was very traumatizing to children. I tell you, this is but this has been very, very interesting. No problem. Hip hop. Good morning. We understand people have to go. People have things to do. Some mornings I have to go, believe it or not. So no, we certainly understand, and we thank you so much for stopping by. And good morning to Paul, and good morning to those of you who might be listening by switchboard. Also want to say good morning to those of you who may tune into the archives. But, yeah, so back to this story. And so here I am. I'm doing this work. I'm doing the school. I do the work, and I pass, but always with that dark cloud of you're going to stick this year. And I remember a couple summers having to do something in summer school, not much, but something. I remember doing some summer schools. And then I remember by the time I got to the fifth grade, it was either the fifth or the sixth grade. We had moved to a new community by now. And now I'm in a whole different school. And the school I was at, it went fifth and sixth grade. And then from there, once you went to the seventh grade, you went to a very historical school in Cincinnati, Ohio, which has been torn down. Well, actually, they tore it down during the riots of Dr. Martin Luther King, so the 1960s, when they did the riot in Cincinnati during the Dr. Martin Luther King assassination. The school that I was attending was right in the heart of this community called Avondale, which was the heart of sort of like Black pride, so to speak. And most people there either rented or owned a house. There was no projects in that area that I can remember. But there were people either had lived in an apartment, so they were still renting. And there were some people who lived in houses in that Avondale community. Well, this school was right in the heart of that community. It was a wonderful community. And, but that's where the riots took place. And so they tore the school down. But I had just left the school. Like, I was there in the seventh grade. And then that next year we moved from Ock High School, Ock Junior High. It only had seventh and eighth, I believe. It was only seventh and eighth. Possibly ninth, but I'm not sure. And but the next year, that summer, we were gone. We were already moved. And that following year is when they rioted and they destroyed that school. And what a wonderful, wonderful school. Well, actually, we were still living there when they rioted, but the community had gone down so that they tore the school down like the next year. Because I think they rioted that summer or somehow right before I went to the seventh grade. But I'm getting the dates a little mixed up there, but it was all right in that same time period. So we moved in, but that summer before that, I remember going to summer school, and I remember that being the funnest. And maybe that's how I passed all those times, is that every summer I had to go to summer school. And so summer school was shorter. Maybe I had more attention, but the summer school I always did well. I remember that. I don't remember, like, the grades or anything, but I just remember always doing well in summer school, always completing summer school. And somehow I remember liking summer school for some reason. I really should investigate that and figure out what it is that the students, that teachers do in summer school that they don't get to do all year. And I believe back then it may have something to do with a smaller class size. And I do believe that some students do need probably more attention in the learning. Like, some kids, you can give them the work to do and just let them go, and they'll do it. But you have those other students that you pretty much got to sit there and be on their back, so to speak, the whole time. So I will definitely be looking. I just said all that to say that that's what I did on Friday. I go down to this elementary school, and they put me in there with the third graders. I was not expecting that. I was so looking forward to having those seventh or eighth graders, you know, because really, here they are, about to go off to high school. Some of them about to, this summer, especially the eighth graders, some of those eighth graders are going to do things this summer that's going to impact, and in some cases in a negative way, the rest of their lives. And I know that because I've been there. And that's why I guess my heart goes out to the eighth graders, because I want to be that derailment for them. I want to derail them from that train crash, because I know that this is eighth grade, but some of them are going to do some things. You know, summer seems very short to us working people, and we're on vacation, and the summer goes so fast, and it's so short. But to a child, the summer is very long, especially when they have nothing to do. And it's one thing I thank God for are those summer school classes that I had to go to, because at least they keep you busy. But if you don't have anything for your child to do, pretty much you're setting them up for failure, because an idle mind is a camp for your enemy, okay? It's a playground for the enemy. An idle mind, please have something for your child to do, something constructive, something positive. Do not, hear me good, if you have a child that has, you have no plans for them this summer, like if your only plan is that, because this is some parents, this is what they think is a plan for their children. They say, well, my kid is going to go down with Aunt Millie for a week down south. That is not a plan for your child's summer. That's a plan for you. That's you getting a vacation from them for a week. That's not the plan for them. Because I went to, quote, unquote, Aunt Millie's house for the summer, and I got into more trouble there. I did more things there that would impact my life negatively than I did by staying at home. So I know sometimes parents are quick to get that little break and rush their kids off to, quote, unquote, Aunt Millie's house, but trust me, Aunt Millie may not be the best for your child, because things happen, okay? So let's try to find them something constructive to do, all right? Unless Aunt Millie is running a summer camp where she has activities from 9 to 5, and, you know, that's different. But if you're just going to Aunt Millie's because, you know, Aunt Millie lives in the South and it's slow down there, oh, baby, trust me. It wasn't slow. It wasn't that slow then, and I know it ain't slow today. with these young people with the internet and the smartphones and the Wi-Fis and all the stuff that they have, you might be sending your child into a place where they can pick up a lot of things that you wouldn't have allowed them to pick up if they had been home. So have something, try to get them into something constructive. Now, the problem with that is funding. That's the biggest problem. Well, there's two major problems with getting your kids involved in something, but one we know is funding and one is energy. If you, as a parent, lack energy, you're not going to want to take them anywhere. And there are a lot of parents that have absolutely no energy to take their children anywhere. I understand. Believe me, you. I don't have children, but trust me, that's one of the reasons, because I know I wouldn't have the energy to do all that running around. I think before people have children, they should sit down and they should analyze themselves and see if they have it. If they don't have it, then make sure you marry someone who does have it. You don't have energy, he don't have energy, and y'all have a child. That ain't going to work. Somebody needs to be energetic. And these, because children need to be involved in things. I mean, you know, we keep wondering what's wrong with our kids. Everybody, what's wrong? What's wrong? Well, I'm telling you what's wrong with them. They don't do anything. That's what's wrong with them. And playing in the house and playing outside in the yard, that's not doing things. I'm sorry. I'm here to let you know, because I know no one's going to tell you. And, you know, and then your child will be left behind ultimately, because in other communities, amongst other people, they know what I'm talking about, and their children are involved in things. And they take the energy, even if they have to drug themselves up to get energetic. I'm not professing or proclaiming that you do that. I'm just keeping it real and letting you know how important it is and how serious these parents are about it. At least they're not doing it the right way per se, but at least they understand the concept. Whereas in many African-American communities, we don't even get the concept. We don't even understand the concept of getting our child involved, and it becomes a burden. It's a chore. And so the two main things, the two main problems is funding and energy. And energy, I would say, would really be the first issue, because if you have energy, you can find a lot of things that the funding is taken care of by another entity. And so the funding doesn't come out of your pocket. However, you will expend funds on gas and sometimes maybe lunch and things of that nature. And another reason energy is so important is because you need to start the process early. Like, you don't start the process in June or May. You don't. If you're in May looking for a project for your child, you won't find any, because May is, they're all filled. I was working for college. I worked for the College Bound program for 4 years, and we had a summer program. We had a summer program, summer enrichment program that lasted 4 weeks. And every day the child was there engaged in math or science and other projects, personal. We had personal development classes for them. This was 7th and 8th grade. And then we had, and then there was also at the college, at Essex County College, they, I believe, have a program. They start working with the kids, I believe, in the second grade. So possibly they're in the first grade going to the second grade that summer. And a lot of the programs are free, but they're like filled like 2 years ahead of time. Because what happens is, for the parent who has her, some parents know to get your child in there, right? So when the parent is in there with the one child, let's just say, in year 09, and the child is first grade, and they got a baby that's 4. So they're already making plans to get that other child in there. And so for the child that was there in the first grade, they roll them over. Now they're there in the second grade. So now the second grade slot is one slot less. And then that's how those parents keep their children involved. And that's how those slots. And then, of course, those parents tell all their friends. And I remember when I worked at Essex County College, as a leader in those programs, you rarely have to market it yourself, because the parents are going to tell their friends about it and all your slots will be filled. So the College Bound, we used to go out and recruit and get these kids in the program. So, I mean, and people would call us early those slots, even if for a few slots. Those slots were taken by March. By March they were filled. they would feel. If you didn't call before March, if you didn't call January, February, and depending on what college it is, you know, colleges, they don't do as much work during January because a lot of times school is out, you know, for the winter break. So you have to get right on it. And this is another thing I would say to parents. If you can, when and where you can, when it comes to those programs like that, College Bound, Upward Bound, Continuing Ed, all of that, because every college has it, even Rutgers and JIT, St. Michael's, every college has some rendition of it. They may not have the exact same thing, but they have something. But here's the thing. I always tell parents this, and I used to tell my parents this, and some of them listened and some of them didn't. But what you want to do with your parent, if you are a parent, what you need to know is when you are trying to get your child in one of these summer programs, please, please, I beg you to go in person. Do not do it over the phone. I promise you, if you're calling these colleges and you're doing stuff over the phone, and this is no deference to the colleges. I work in one. I worked full-time in one for 4 years and, for culmination of, 5 years, because I worked before for continuing ed and the welfare to work program in 97. And I worked full-time for that program. It was ran out of the college. I'm telling you, don't do it over the phone. Go in person. Go talk to the director of the program. Let him or her feel your emotionally charged plea to get your child in, and they may have you do the paperwork on the spot. Over the phone, it just doesn't, it's okay, but it's not, I would never tell anybody to do it over the phone. And here's one more reason why the phone, I don't like the phone. In the majority of the colleges, people who work the phones are students, okay? Every college has student workers. It's called work study. Students get paid $5 or money is taken off of their tuition, and they work in all the colleges that I know. It could be Harvard, probably all the way down. I've never been to Harvard, so I can't say for sure, though I did contact Harvard because I was interested in one of their programs. And one of my friends did go to a Harvard program. I know she went to Yale, Harvard, they're very similar. But these colleges, you cannot trust the person on the other end of that phone. And I'm not saying that student workers are not as good as a regular paid $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year person. Now, somebody making $5 an hour, young people today with all their texting and all of their tweeting, okay, think about it. They're handling your paperwork when you call. And I'm just saying, if I was you, I would go physically to the college, talk to the dean or talk to the person in charge, the executive director, the director of the program, the associate director, or whatever they call themselves, and I would try to get my child in. And I would, well, it's already May, so if you haven't done it yet, you only got May. So it is what it is. You got what you got, so you may as well go now. But a lot of the programs they are free, and they do have funding. Now, so anyway, that's what I was saying about these third graders, because I could just see how, I just looking at them on Friday when I went, I was like, oh, my goodness. I hope these parents have these children engaged over the summer, not summer. And I know they were talking about summer school. And I'm not talking about giving the kids a bunch of homework either. And how ludicrous that was, though. They got these parents fighting to take away the kids' homework. So, my goodness, that sounds so sad to me. But what are they going to do? Tweet all day, get on Facebook all day. Give me a break, parents. Wake up, wake up. But again, if parents don't want to follow up and do what they need to do, I can see why they would say, because the parents said the homework is not so much for the kids, it's too much for them. And so that's pretty funny. I saw that on the news the other day. So the parents, if you can, these third graders, here I am talking to the third graders, and I'm just looking, okay, they need to get involved in something, right? Because they're going to be coming back for the fourth grade next year. But they were eager bunch of kids, and They were great. They were great. So kudos to the language arts teacher over there. She had them. They had it all together. So that's how my Friday, that's what started. So that's why how I got into these three awesome days. Friday was absolutely awesome. And then Saturday we attended an authors forum where there were five authors, and well, four actually. One author was not able to make it, but was a very young author, still in high school, a senior actually, a senior in high school, no doubt probably at the prom or something, or maybe out shopping for the prom, but he was from North Carolina. He wasn't able to make it, but a very, very powerful book that deals with bullying. He started a book to help kids who are being bullied and to help help stop bullying. So I would have loved meeting this young person, but he was not able to make it. So we have four female authors, and it was the International Women's Conference, and they had this, and it was very, I met a couple of great authors there. Shaquanda was there. I actually know Shaquanda. You can look her up on Facebook. Shaquanda Stephenson. You can look her up on Facebook. Shaquanda Stephenson. She's an author. She has a very powerful book, very powerful message. Young lady right here in New Jersey. She was there. Please check out her page on Facebook. Shaquanda, S-H-A-Q-U-A-N-D-A, Shaquanda, and her last name, Stephenson, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S-O-N. So check her out. Awesome young lady. She's also a publisher. She does graphics. She does book designs. She designed a book cover for me. She's very good at it. She is also does flyers and things of that nature and business cards, postcards, whatever you need, and she can also get them printed for you. So you definitely want to contact Shaquanda. She was one of the authors. The other author was Leslie Beeman, very, 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 very powerful young lady. She is a school teacher of third grade, so we had a nice little conversation about that age group. Leslie Beeman, she wrote a book, Will the Real Sisters Please Stand Up? And so she wrote that book because she said that she had found it very hard to get a lot of real advice when it came to dating, when it came to relationships and different things. And so she was like, you know, can somebody just keep it real with us and tell us the real deal about what's happening before we grow up and make a mess of our life? So that's what she wrote. It's like a book of poetry, but the poetry doesn't really rhyme or anything like that, but it has very, very powerful meaning. So she had her book there. That's her first book. And like I said, she is a teacher in the education system for several years, a good 10 years or so now. And the other author, which I was very happy to meet, but very surprised because I had only heard about this author, this was author, let me get her name right, author, Pastor Denise Dance. Oh, my God, she is awesome. She wrote a book called Lose It Before You Lose It. And it is powerful, powerful, powerful. She has a very powerful story. She was the youngest of eight girls. Can you believe it? The youngest of eight girls. And boy, does she have a story to tell about her life growing up, being the youngest of eight girls and having had her first child at age 14. So powerful, powerful story. So her book is Lose It Before You Lose It. And so you can get her book on Amazon or anywhere. She also is on Facebook, and just very, very powerful. And then she lost, I guess, a good 100 and some pounds. She went from a size 26 in clothes. She was wearing a size 26, and she has the picture and everything right there on her book. Now she's like a size, I don't know, maybe 14. Wow, big, dramatic, oh my goodness, her dramatic difference. And so she also has a weight loss program to help people lose weight the proper way. Now, so she was there and got a chance to meet her. That was awesome, fabulous. And, you know, Saturday was a beautiful day. The sun was shining. And now here it was, they were claiming it to be the last day and that people would be raptured up and that the end was here, not coming, because we know it's been coming since Jesus said, he kept saying that the end is at hand. So we know it's coming. It's been coming. We say, well, know we're in the last days. Well, we've been in the last day. Paul says we're in the last day. Jesus said you're in the last days. So we know we're in the last days. Every day was the last day since Jesus left. And so here's the last days. Meaning the last days before he comes back. And so, but we know we're getting closer and closer and closer to the last day. And so, so here we are on May 21st, the day that, you know, doomed for those who won't be raptured up, but for others, not totally doomed for them because according to Scripture, they will get an opportunity to now receive him, but it's going to be much harder without the work of the Holy Spirit and other things that God has used to help people understand who he is, right? So here, everybody's waiting, 6:20, and this person had gone out and said this is going to happen. So here we are Saturday at this awesome book forum, and I got a chance to meet a person that I had heard about for some years, and many people telling me, I should meet him. I guess they're a prophet because I did meet him. And he was the moderator for the forum, Mr. Mark Medley. And I am so looking forward to being a guest on his radio show. He does his radio show out of William Patterson University. So I'm not sure if that's 88 point something. I know Fairleigh Dickinson has a radio station, and William Patterson has one as well. So he invited all the authors to be a guest on his show. And he has an organization called The Reading Circle, that you can join. He is on Facebook. Nice young man. He was the moderator. He's also the principal. Anyway, so he's doing a lot of great things. Well, now, so here we are Saturday. So we got off Saturday, and then we have to go and get ready for, now, again, with people thinking in their minds that Saturday might be the last day, and for some people it was. But every day is the last day for somebody, right? And so Sunday morning, had to get up and go and preach a revival. So that was my absolute first revival. So anyway, that was interesting, and that was different, and we had a lot of fun. So here we are today, Monday. So we have had this weekend of empowerment. Because that's what they kept saying to the children when they had the fifth, eighth graders gather in the auditorium, and they had all the presenters of Career Day there on the stage. And the counselor who helped to put the Career Day together, she kept saying, you know, we want to thank y'all for coming to empower our students. She said it over and over and over. And I thought, oh, how awesome is that? You know, just imagine. Sometimes we feel like this is the worst time to be a student, and we look at what our students don't have based on what we had. But I'm looking at what they do have that we didn't have. I can't imagine someone telling me in the fifth grade that I'm being empowered. Come on, I was being molested. I was being neglected, abused, used. Hello, to have someone telling me that I'm being empowered, that we're here to empower you. I thought, wow, these young people have the best of the best. And it's not like some fancy private school out in Short Hills or Indian Hill or whatever other hill you live in. Okay? This is right in the heart of Newark. Not the heart of Newark, but Newark is the heart, period. But in Newark, New Jersey, where these students were being told that they're being empowered. And now what I am going to do is I am going to put forth a session for some young people of some words, and I want to have these young people look these words up, because I'll never forget the life-changing word that math teacher spoke to me when I was in the ninth grade. I'll never forget it. And the only thing that I can say was my downfall at the time, which I believe was for me. And I know I shared this before on the show, but I didn't know what the word meant. And I talk about it in my book, Release Your Power, and I talk about how, and I didn't have sense enough to go look the word up. I knew the word meant something good. That I sensed that in my spirit. Maybe I had heard it before. Maybe my mother had used the word around the home. Maybe I had seen it in a TV show or something. I don't know. But I knew the word meant something good, and just in the way he said it, at the time period that he said it, I knew that, but I did not know what it meant, and I didn't go look it up, nor did I run home excited and tell my mom that this person says that I have, and the word is potential. Now, this person said to me after I had did poorly on a math test, I remember the scenario. I just, you know, too bad I didn't take full advantage of it. I remember the scenario. It was a grade I had gotten on a math test. And if I'm not mistaken, that I maybe had gotten maybe like a C. I know typically I got D's and F's, never an A, not in that grade. The last A I saw was probably, who knows, I think I remember seeing a B in the seventh grade, but that was because I had Miss Lason. I remember her very well, Lason, Lawson, something like that. That her name I remember, and her I remember, but remember that was at that school that I was at that was torn down due to the riots, and we moved. I was only there 1 year. I really believe in my heart, had I stayed there, I believe I would have been a better student. Because remember what I told you about that community where we lived. It was a community called Avondale. And at that time period, it was a community that was focused and centered on Black pride. Probably much like a Vellsburg section of Newark or something like that. Because it was mostly, you know, like I said, apartment renters or homeowners, but there were no projects. There were no, you really didn't have, there weren't people there on welfare, though people might have been on welfare. But they were African-American people, Black people who worked every day, regardless of what kind of job. Even if they had like a little, you know, penny-ante job, it was they still worked every day. No parents sat at home and collected a check every month. All right, so the mentality of that community was also positive. But we moved. We only lived in that community for, let's see, fifth grade, sixth, seventh. So we lived there like 3 years, and then we moved into this other community. But in that community is where I met the man who said to me in the ninth grade, now I'm in the ninth grade, and he said to me, he said, you have potential. And I don't know if he said it just like that. I don't know if he said you have the potential to do something. I don't know if, I just know that word was there, and it was something he said I had, and I knew it meant something good. I just wished I could have been more taught in what he really meant. I wish he maybe could have taken time to, maybe he tried, because by that time, that's when I was going to school high every day off of marijuana. So maybe he tried to talk to me, but the marijuana was clouding my understanding, all right? So for you people who have kids that it just doesn't seem like they're catching it, you may want to, you know, instead of taking them for a pregnancy test, you might want to take them for a drug test and see if they're getting high. Because not just pregnancy, but pregnancy or DNA, right? Because we don't want to single out the women and not leave to put the guys in this. But you might want to give them a drug test and see if they're drugged up because, you know, come on, you got a cloudy mind. You're not picking up on stuff. So I can't remember why I didn't really focus. Maybe he did tell me other things, okay? Maybe he tried. Maybe he wanted to. But maybe he saw that, well, she's coming to school high. She's playing around. She's already missed, you know, 20-something days this semester. Maybe he felt, because that's when I was skipping school heavily, heavy, heavy. So maybe he felt, you know what, she doesn't care. You know, I'm putting my effort into her. Why should I? Okay? And I'm sure there are a lot of teachers like that. Do they see a child with potential to do great things, but they also see the child playing around, not doing the work, and maybe they feel like, why should I care? I don't know. I'm not saying this is what they do. I'm just, you know, wondering. Well, I guess I could speak to some degree to if this is what teachers really think. If I could just think back to my own life, I mean, to my life now as a professor. Yes, I will absolutely admit it. Yes, when I see a student who shows up every single class, I mean, won't miss a class for nobody, not for her boo, her Boaz, not for her family. You know, you got these students that let the littlest thing happen to their family, they out. You know, I understand family is all important, and I got one too. Trust me. I got a family and have had one. But when it came to my schoolwork, I was there, okay? And I got the work done, or I got the assignment and did it later, but I never had any situations that I needed to do that for. But if I have a student that shows up every single class, is participating, sitting up front, not sitting in the back, laughing and joking and chit-chatting with her friends. You know those students who, like, love to keep up a conversation while your class is going? There are students like that in college where, you know, you're up trying to do your class and they got something to talk about that's just so important. They don't have an A, probably not even a B. I can even see an A student. You got straight A's every test you know, you're throwing out A's. I can see you having some sidebar conversations because you might have something to talk about, or you have you have some leeway. You can talk. But for the students who are getting C's, D's, I don't understand why they're saying anything during that 45-minute class or hour and a half. Who are you talking to and about what? Even if you don't want to hear what the teacher says, you should be quiet anyway. Just make them think you're listening. So when I talk, so here I am, I have these students in my class who come, who sit up front. The moment you sit in the front, I already know you don't want to talk to nobody. And not to say that all students who sit in the back do, but typically the ones who sit in the back are going to be distracted because now they got to watch what everybody in front of them is doing. And by the time their eyes fall 8 rows ahead on the teacher, their brain cells are already somewhere else, unless that is your known way of learning. Because I understand everybody got different learning styles. And if that's your known way of learning is by being in the back and watching what everybody else is doing, if that gets your brain juices flowing, go for it and go for it hard, but then have the results to prove it. Don't tell me that you do better when you sit in the back and you're a C student. Doing better than what, a D, an F? No, don't hand me, like for me, I would be like, don't hand me that crap, because I was a student who, students think that all college professors were straight A students, and so when you keep it real with them and can let them know, no, look, I dropped out of high school, flunked out, now you can probably get a different result from that student, because now that student can know that they can't run a whole lot of games on you, okay? But students, well, they'll almost tell you anything, right? So, but I'm just saying for me as a professor, if I get students that are coming to class, sitting up front, paying attention, asking questions, I don't care how silly it sounds, ask it anyway. Trust me, in my heart, I'm going to be swayed to give that child an A, okay? It's like, I guess it's going back to my kindergarten days when you got a, you know, an E for effort, you know. When people see that you're trying, even God does that for us. You know, if a holy God gives us, you know, favor for trying, my God, who are we to do anything less? So me personally, now I'm not saying what other teachers can do or will do, but I'm talking about what I do. And when I see that you I ask you to do, let's just say, I say every week turn in an article and summarize it with one page. And if every week you have an article summarized and you typed it up, and then I ask you to do some definitions or I ask you to do a paper, whatever it is, I've asked you to do all these things and you've done them and you showed up, you paid attention, and you fell a test, I'm going to still give you an A. I'm just keeping it real. Because a test grade is not the only judgment of your academics or your intellect, your knowledge of the subject. That's why I tell them, do the assignments, because I tell them all this in the first day of school. I beg them, participate. That's how I know you know something. The test, you could have just memorized it, and I don't know if you know that or not, because you could have just memorized it and you may forget it next week. But if you're talking to me about it, every time you come to class,
we talk about economics and you have something to say, or we talk about finances and you have something to say, or we talk about HR and you have questions and comments. Now I know that you know. And so now when it's time for me to give a grade, you can get the best grade. Okay, but anyway, so I don't know how I got off on that tangent. But anyway, that might help somebody who has children. Well, school year is almost over, so all the things I'm telling you, you can make it better for next year. So here it is. So here, that's, I was talking about that because I was talking about my experience on Friday, which was, I said this weekend, it's just been an awesome, awesome, great weekend. And here we are Monday, and we are down to just several minutes of the show. So, if you are in the chat room, oh, yeah, a whooping. Yeah, actually, we called it a beating. And I want to say good morning to Ms. Kiva. Good morning to Mr. Obey. And good morning, Pat. Now, what we're going to do, Mr. Paul Kiriazzi, all the way in Japan. So this weekend was just awesome, awesome, awesome. And then Monday, here we are Monday. I am excited. I am overly excited about this new area that I'm working where I am helping people get a job. Isn't that something? I tell you, I said, God, you really have jokes. God has such a sense of humor. And so for the time period, I have contracted myself out to help this program who has to fulfill a grant, and they have to get jobs for people who are unemployed. And I said, okay, God, you got me trying to help people get jobs in one of the worst recessions that we've had in 20 years. Okay, not good. I'm like, okay, God, this isn't good. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, now we got to work some miracles. So I said, okay, God, I see why you're doing this now, so that there can be a testimony about how God did it, because there is nothing I can do. And from the looks of it, it's not a whole lot these employers want to do and can do. Some of them don't feel they can, you know, open the door. But yet we have this mandate to get these people jobs. The federal government has said that people can no longer collect a welfare check and not be actively looking for a job. Just can't do it no more. No more getting a welfare check and sitting at home. Those days are gone. They've been gone since 97. And so when what is still going on, though, but it hasn't gone. So here's what's happening. People can't sit at home. They have to be in job search or job training, either or. You can be out looking for a job every day. You could be with a program where they're teaching you how to look for. You have three choices. You can go out and look on your own. That's your up to you. But you wouldn't be on welfare doing that. So if you're on there, you have to go through one of their job search programs. And you have to be in there. You have to be reporting somewhere for 35 hours a week. Now, some people, they may let them just do straight job search. If somebody like me was to go get on welfare, certainly they know I wouldn't need to go into a job readiness program. But they would definitely, I would have to probably check in with them so many hours a week or whatever, right? Sort of like unemployment. And so here I would be, so you got to either be out searching, or you're in a class where you're learning how to search, learning how to do your resume, cover letter, what to say in an interview, what to wear in an interview, and all of that. So you're doing job readiness, or you're in a training program, learning, getting some training, some trade, customer service, administrative assistant, certified nursing assistant, child care worker, forklift driver, factory installer, whatever, something. You got to learn how to do something, right? Security, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Now you can do that essentially. You only have 5 years to do any of that. After 5 years, you can continue. You can go to training for the rest of your life. You can go to college. They never stopped you from doing that. But here's the problem. After 5 years, you can no longer get welfare benefits. Every human being only has, in this country, the way it is now, every human being in this country only has 5 years worth of welfare on reserve. So in other words, if I was to go get on welfare tomorrow, I would have until the end of May 2016. Okay? So everybody only gets 5 years no matter your age, no matter who you are, you get 5 years. Where before, they never told you what. It was just you got on until you got off. Well, now you get on, but you have 5 years to get yourself secured in a job somewhere. So now you can see the dilemma. A person like me who was to get on there, it might take me, in a bad economy, it might take me 5 years maybe to find a good job. But then I would have it. But now imagine a person who has little to no education, little to no skills. Now try to help that person in 5 years. It takes 4 years just to get a bachelor's degree. So now you can see the dilemma. So now we're going to need God, because this is a dynamics that has never existed before. Never has this ever existed in the United States of America. Back in the day, when my grandmother, who was born in 1906, when my grandmother, Lillian B. Little, God bless her, God rest her soul, when she got ready to go get a job, she may not have had a high school diploma. I don't think she did. I'm not sure. But either way, for the people in her day, when they did not have high school diplomas, when they didn't have any job skills, okay, it was okay, because all of the jobs in America at that time, I would say 80% of them, were for low-skill workers. They were all factory jobs or cleaning or building or something. And all you had to do was stand there and put a cog in the wheel. That was it. You were told to do it. You stood there, and you didn't need it, real skills to do anything for the majority of the jobs. And so people were able to get jobs, no problem. But today it's different. All of the jobs are highly skilled. Most of them, even McDonald's. Even McDonald's, you got to be somewhat skilled to get that fryer on and off at the right temperature. It's not like frying chicken at home. You just turn on the flame, you know, see if things look hot, boom. No, in there, you got to follow a set of instructions, and that's where people are missing it. A lot of people can't follow instructions because some people can't read that well. So you see the dilemma. So there's a big, big, big dilemma right now. And so either we're going to get some low-skill jobs, or something has to change. Something's got to change. I haven't quite put my finger on it, though. I've seen some programs out there who are helping people get a college degree, because at least with college, they stretch out your learning over a 4-year period. Okay, whereas for an associate degree, they stretch out your learning over 2 years. Whereas some of these training programs, people are going into these training programs for like 2 months, 3 months. And, you know, and there's a lot to learn and get good at in a 5-month period. Though I know it can be done. When I was in the military, I went to aviation school, and they trained me to be a jet mechanic. It only took them 2 months. I came off the streets, y'all. I knew nothing about an airplane. They sent me to an A school for 2 months to become a jet mechanic, and I did it. I graduated top of my class, but I went to school 9 to 5, 5 days a week, in intense training, intense. They're not experiencing that in some of those programs. But, yes, it can be done. I do admit it can be done. So that's all we have time for today. It's been great. It's been real. I enjoyed sharing with you. Hopefully you got something that you can use. Don't forget, if you're helping young people over the summer, make sure you get them in a program. And going down to Aunt Millie's does not qualify a program for the summer. They've got to be involved in something: art, music, acting, sports. You got to get them involved in a program for the summer. Please, please, please do that, parents. And if you have any questions, if you need any guidance, please call me. I have lots of suggestions on things they can do. And if you cannot find a program and you are a parent that has at your home, start one. and invite their friends. If you're having a problem finding one, probably other parents are too, and you can reach out to those parents. Okay, here's Miss Crystal Jones calling me. That's my boss. So I'm going to go now and talk to her. So you all have a great and a wonderful, wonderful day. And it's been, we'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same place.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment.
Oh, yes.
The Coach LaLisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio. Every morning, Monday through
Friday,
at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move.
Okay.
And
so
this has been
Coach
LaLisa J. Williams.
Okay. Yes.